Cleveland.
Yo.
Like
we
podcast.
Are live on YouTube.
What's happening?
What up, though? Hey, hey, everybody.
All right. Well, the chat's filling up quick.
Yes, yes. Hello, wow. Hello, everybody. Hello. Happy all Friday. Right. My name is Elizabeth.
And I'm Billy Carson, a.k.a. Forbidden Knowledge, a.k.a.
Forbidden Knowledge.
Remember, this is not a Mason symbol. These are actually four fingers.
Four fingers for knowledge. The number four. Forbidden Knowledge.
With I still
the
saw four. A few more comments recently. What is this? Gang sign.
You're the Illuminati throwing are up you gang
a,
sign.
Are you a Freemason? 1, 2, 3, 4. For four. And I always do it. Four. Forbidden knowledge.
I know.
So
I know.
Guys, it's yeah, it's forbidden knowledge.
Forbidden knowledge.
It's just forbidden knowledge, okay? Yes, yes. Four for forbidden.
Yes, yes. Hey guys, we are live on Instagram right now. I'm about to jump off Instagram.
Yes.
So you guys, if you want to join us for this lovely podcast, it is going to be a good one tonight. We are going to be talking all about how my doctor was my drug dealer, because right. He was. So if you guys want to hear about it, join us on the Forbidden Knowledge YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/theforbiddenknowledge. So I'll see y'all there.
That's right. We're on YouTube right now, guys. Make sure you tune in. That's why I mentioned you. I want you to go over to the YouTube channel at the Forbidden Knowledge. We're live right now on YouTube. All right.
Yes,
see you over there.
Are. Yes, we are. And it's been a little minute. We've been traveling. We were just in the UK for a couple weeks there. And we weren't able to go live in the UK for Biohack Your Best Life. So we are back live today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we are. It's going to be a good night. Please make sure you share the video. Make sure you click the like button. All right.
Yes, yes.
And make sure you click the like button and share the video. That's really important for the algorithm.
It is.
Yeah. We're you know, now we've got to battle algorithms amongst everything else.
Oh my gosh, you guys, do you see what they I posted on my story? I got like 19 strikes or something. Literally, they strike me for a picture I had with my son.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. It's outrageous.
It is outrageous.
Yeah.
It is outrageous. Okay. So this is like the camera is gonna bug me.
I think it's too far to one side.
It is. Okay, you guys, I'm gonna fix this camera because my OCD is gonna really upset me. Like, yeah, hold on.
No problem. Just get my shoulder in the frame.
It's cutting off your
there we go.
There we go.
Better? That's better, yeah.
Is it good?
Yeah, that's good. That's my camera lady.
Look, I didn't like that the square, the box was covering up Billy's face, and I didn't like that, so we had to get that together.
Thank you so much.
Had to see your beautiful face.
I appreciate it.
Thank you, babe. Anyways, guys, yes, my doctor was my drug dealer, and we're gonna go deep about this because we have some statistics that's gonna really, really explode your brain, because it did mine when I discovered this. And did a little bit of research about this a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it is bothersome what you find out when you do the research and you figure out how many drugs are being prescribed yearly and how many drugs are being prescribed to not only young adults, but children and even babies.
Yeah.
So
it's really, really a travesty what's going on in the medical industry. And you've heard me say this before, you can't have capitalism in everything. Okay. I mean, we live in a society that's based on capitalism and capitalistic ideas and mindsets and entrepreneurism. And right now, that's the matrix we're in. Okay. So I partake in being an entrepreneurship and teaching people how to evolve and you know, begin and start their own businesses. But at the same time, once you inject capitalism into healthcare, you see a big problem.
Yeah. Well, you can't. I mean, as soon as you start monetizing people's health, then people's health becomes less than what the goal is, which is the monetization right. of that. So how can we make money? It becomes about the money instead of about the people. Mm-hmm. So you can't put capitalism in healthcare because right. then you get what we have, these problems that we experience daily. Yeah. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And unfortunately, my family and myself mm-hmm. have been victim to the healthcare system. Yeah. And it's unfortunate because, I mean, I'm me, you're yeah. you. It's 50% of who's sitting here right now that the medical healthcare system has affected in a very negative way. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, even you, didn't you have some bad experiences or had some family members with bad experiences?
Yes, I've had bad experiences. I had family members with bad experiences. Mm-hmm. They're just all about billing codes.
Yeah.
The way that most physicians get paid, or really all physicians get paid, at least in the United States, is through billing codes. And so as many codes that they can submit to that person's insurance company or either the government for reimbursement, they will compile as many codes on top of codes on top of codes. For example, we both know somebody that just yesterday said they needed to go in for an x-ray.
Yeah.
And that person is getting an x-ray done today, or had an x-ray done today, of soft tissue. Now, the last time I checked my science books, x-rays don't pick up anything in soft tissue.
Yeah.
X-rays look for and see bone structure, right? And so because we're talking about doctors that want to monetize, of course, they're going to do the x-ray and then they're going to make you come back and then they're going to do a CAT scan and then they're going to make you come back and then they're going to do a, because it's all about the billing codes. How do you continue to build up these billing codes? At the end of the day, at the end of the month, those billing codes turn into a lot of revenue. So even though this person didn't need a x-ray, they most likely got an x-ray anyway.
Well, no, she got an x-ray. Yeah. And what's unfortunate about this person is that she's 77 years old. She is on her own. She doesn't have a husband to help her go to these doctor's offices. She doesn't have a husband to drive her. She's an older woman with failing eyesight, and she's becoming, you know, I mean, what happens during old age? Mm-hmm. She's not able to walk as well as she normally can. Yeah. So every time she goes to the doctor, it's a risk.
Yeah.
It's a risk that she takes.
It's a risk just leaving the house.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's a risk just coming from the upstairs room to the downstairs room to get
Absolutely.
In the car.
Yes, it is.
But they keep you coming back over and over again so they can keep running these big billing codes through, which turn into sometimes tens of thousands of dollars per patient per month. And that's how they pay their bills. So it's pretty crazy because the level of capitalization is so high in that industry. So at some point in the future, there has to be some type of a regulation put on it to where doctors can't manipulate patients into generating wealth for themselves.
Yeah, and it's not a bone yeah. that they were looking for. She had a lump on her leg. So I don't know why they would give somebody an x-ray for a lump on your leg, which right under the dermis, like yeah. makes zero sense.
Just adding up more exactly. revenues.
Exactly. And let me tell you something. These people have stolen millions of dollars from my family. Okay.
Yes, they have.
Millions of dollars. And they will continue to get millions of dollars from my family because of their own mistake mm-hmm. that they didn't catch, but yet we're paying for it for the rest of our lives. It's right. just, it's absolutely ridiculous. So, I mean, long story short, guys, it's, I would just advise people out there to do your research, learn your body, right? Learn your body, learn what works for your body and know your body better than other people do. You don't want to go to the doctor and that doctor tell you what's going on with your system. And you're like, oh my God, are you serious? Like you should be so in tune with this vessel that houses you for this entire lifetime that you know what's going on here. They can only tell you, okay, well, this is because of this, because they've done tests, right? They've done actual blood tests or fluid tests or fecal tests or saliva tests. They've done actual tests to show you, hey, or taken x-rays or CAT blood scans work. Or MRIs, so they can pinpoint and show you, hey, this is the issue you have going on. But, you know, doctors, they don't know everything.
No. Well, they call it a practice for a reason. That's why they call it a practice. They're literally practicing.
Yes.
And unfortunately, not all doctors, but some. Not all doctors. Some doctors do have a good heart and a real heart. But there are doctors out there that are literally living off the billing codes. And what they do is they find any way they can. I remember I had to go to the emergency room for a situation, and they kept trying to give me, I had gotten injured playing a sport, and they kept trying to give me a morphine injection. Mm. And I was like, man, this is just fixed my problem, right? I think I got a torn ligament. Mm-hmm. I don't need any morphine. And so they sent another nurse to try to give me morphine. And I'm like, no, I don't need this. They're like begging me almost like, you got to take this. We need to get this in your arm and put. I'm like, listen to me. I do not want this morphine in my body. Mm-hmm. So the lady was finally like, the head nurse is like, well, why won't you do this? And I said, listen to me. My father was a drug addict for his entire life, pretty much from the age of 16 on until the day he died. He was a drug addict. And so that means that addictive personality or addictive traits run in my DNA. It's in my genetics. And you up here trying to tell me, you don't see me suffering. I'm in pain, but I'm not whining and crying or moaning. I can handle what this injury is. I just need to figure out how bad it is so I can know how I need to treat it. And you want to give me this morphine injection so that you can get me hooked on opiates and morphine. I'm not doing it. And so finally they come back and somebody else came and made me sign this document saying that I wouldn't take the morphine.
How old were you?
I was 48 years old or 49 years old.
49 years old. Okay. So you were an adult, right? Yeah. So you could make a conscious decision.
Yeah.
And you made a conscious, logical decision about having that morphine. Now, what about the kid that breaks his leg and they're like, hey, here's some morphine, a 12-year-old. Yeah. What about that? What about that kid?
Yeah. A lot of the times the parents are just so nervous and so scared. They're just signing the paperwork here. Take care of my kid. The next thing you know, they're putting dope in the kid, you know, stuff that the kid don't need. But again, that's more billing codes. Oh, we gave him this. We gave him an injection of that. We gave him an injection of that. While we were in there, you know, we're just giving this other thing too. This other Jabberwowski thing that he might not even need, but well, just give that to him too. So, but at the end of the day, it adds up to a lot of money.
Yeah, it adds up to it a ton of money.
Like all those respirators they put on everybody.
Okay, don't even get me started on respirators. Ooh, don't get me started on the respirators.
I know.
Yeah. First of all, why would they put people on a respirator when they know it's a lung problem, right? Yeah. It is tearing up these people's lungs, right? So they put them on respirators, which very widely known, mess up and take 75% function away from the lungs. Yeah. But you have a virus that's attacking the lungs. These people already can't breathe. But oh, let me put them on a respirator and remove even more functionality of the lung.
Yeah, taking away oxygen from the brain.
One of my exes, he had it twice and they put him on a respirator. And guess what? He died.
Yeah.
He died.
Facts.
No chance.
Facts.
No chance.
Facts.
No freaking chance.
Yeah.
They took him off the respirator, sent him home. He got sick again, went back to the hospital and died. Mm-hmm. No lung capacity, zero left.
Took away.
They took his life.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's they took so many
lives. And the sad part
is
they made money off of him on his way out.
Oh, yeah. And they loved it. They loved every minute of it. They were collecting them dollars. Yes. There's so many stories like these. And so some of the reason why I'm so passionate about all of this stuff, and it took me a while to even realize, you know, when you come down and you realize and you look back on your life, you're like, oh, maybe the reason why I'm so passionate, I work so hard for this purpose is because this happened in my life. Mm-hmm. I didn't really put the two together until recently. Right. Yeah. So they Western medicine, right? My parents, I was adopted. And they are fully in the matrix, you know, so super in the matrix, believe all the you know, politicians and everything that is said on CBS. I mean, news watchers. OK, that's what was always on in my house growing up. They always were watching the news, listening to the news. So they were in that world. OK, so they trust and believe everything that is told to them because they trusted the system. Yeah. Right. So my brother was having issues wetting his pants and way past the time that you're supposed to wet your pants, right? So he was in middle school wetting his pants. Oh, and my dad, right, he had an anger issue and he would scream at my brother and just punish him and thinking that he was doing it just, you know, just doing it.
Yeah.
Come to find out, my brother had a bladder issue. There was a flap inside of your bladder that it stops the urine from coming out. His was broken, basically, right? So they brought him to a doctor, my parents, and the doctor doesn't catch it. Doesn't catch it, doesn't fix it, right? So he ends up having kidney failure after so long, okay? Kidney failure because of this doctor that didn't catch it. Mm-hmm. So my parents decided to sue that doctor. Mm-hmm. They went to court and they sued the doctor for like a couple $1 million to be able to take care of my brother's health problems for the rest of his life. Yeah. But when they told me about that process of suing the doctor, my mom was like, I'll never do this again. Wow. She was like, they tore us up as parents. They tore up our character. Wow. They brought everything up that we've ever done from our past. Mm. And they tried to just dog us out. And she said it was the most painful experience of her life. And so she had never do it again. Mm. Okay. So remember that.
Yeah.
Remember that. Okay. Now, come to find out, kidney failure. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. Dialysis. Now, my brother is, I think, 15 years old on dialysis, looking for a kidney. Okay. Crazy. On dialysis as a 15-year-old, just leave, not, you know, missing school, just not the normal teenage life that someone is supposed to have, okay? Yeah. And so he's doing dialysis 4 days a week. Finally, my parents went in, got tested. Turns out my mom was a match for my brother, which is really, truly amazing because there's only one out of four people that are a match, you know? So it's 25% chance that you are a match, any stranger.
She's adopted, so she's not even in the bloodline.
Exactly. They're not, we don't even have the same blood genome, nothing, right? Nothing. So come to find out, my mom was a match and she ended up donating her kidney to my brother. Mm-hmm. Now, I am, I think, 10, 11, 12, 13 at this time. No, I think I was even younger. I think I was like 8, 9, 10. Mm. So during this time, mind you, I'm adopted. Okay. So abandonment issues like a mofo, right? So ripped away from my mom, never saw my mom at birth, never had that connection. So I have deep rooted trauma from abandonment since I was very young, right? Yeah. So my parents thought that it was helping me by sending me off to all these different families and just, hey, we're going to go to the hospital. It's too dangerous. You're not going to like it. It's too much. Sending me off to all these different homes of strangers. And I'm like super uncomfortable. I'm remembering this as I speak about it. I was like feeling crazy, right? Not comfortable anywhere I was at, homesick. So this is the trauma it caused on me. Now, my brother, I can't even imagine to put myself in his shoes and what he had to experience, right? He rejected the kidney about 3 times, rushed to the hospital, almost died. Like, it was really crazy for a long time in our house. We had to, I mean, all the focus was on him. I mean, all the focus has always been on him because he had health issues.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right.
Of course.
So, but a kid can't process it like that, especially a younger child.
No. So I just thought I was just a little piece of poop on the side of the you know, never, no one ever cared about me, whatever. I'm just getting thrown away all the time. So my perspective as a young girl, right? So my brother's, you know, going through all this stuff, rejecting kidneys. Now they got to put him on like hundreds, and I'm not exaggerating, hundreds of prescription medicine, like to stop the kidney from rejecting. Yeah. And on top of that, steroids, immunosuppressants, because he's on immunosuppressants and steroids, he has to be on steroids to keep his immune system up enough. And then, you know, this is causing him to be anxious and depressed. So he's on anxiety medicine, depression medicine, and I'm countless other prescription drugs.
He is on. I saw the bag myself when he came to the house. The bag of pills is out. I've never seen anybody sit down and take that many pills in front of me.
He takes hundreds of pills a day.
Facts.
And then a lot of those pills are narcotics.
Yeah.
My brother, he cannot have his hand still.
No.
His hands shaking like this, nonstop gas and bloating. I mean, he's always burping. Like, he cannot stop himself because this is what this conglomerate of pills that he has to take at once is causing him. You've seen him. Yeah. His stomach is massive.
Yeah.
Like, it's bloated.
It's all inflammation and bloating.
Exactly.
And water retention.
Yes.
All the pills.
Everything. Yeah. So much inflammation in there, right? And he can't, I mean, he's gotten shingles. He's passing out at dialysis because, okay, kidney transplants do not last an entire lifetime.
No.
They last, if you're lucky, 20 years. If you're lucky, okay? Maybe 10 to 15 for a good kidney, okay? Yeah. So you have to keep getting this throughout your life. So my brother's kidney, of course, failed. because that was a long time ago. And he's been on dialysis now for, I think, almost 8 years.
That's past the amount of time.
Yeah.
The average person can take.
Oh, he's passing out at dialysis, falling out. He's had major, massive issues with other things that I won't even go there. But I'm just saying, like, 4 days out of the week, 5 days out of the week for 4 hours at a time. This is what his life is like, guys. Yeah. Like, this is his life. And this is created because a doctor, when he was young, did not catch the issue.
Misdiagnosed. Something simple, too.
Yes. Number two, instead of giving him holistic remedies or giving him other options away from these narcotics, away from these horrible prescription drugs that are messing him up. I mean, they don't give him any other options.
No.
And you know what they even told him? They told him, don't drink that much water. Don't eat those fruits. They tell him not to eat certain things that are great for him. And I'm sitting here like, I literally had to stop going over to my mom's house because it disgusted me. Yeah. I just couldn't do it anymore. Right. I can't watch this.
Well, they're keeping a customer. You know how you got to, you know, the best dope dealers know how to keep their customers hooked. And the way to keep your customer hooked is to keep them sick.
Yes.
Because then you can keep prescribing more and more and more.
Oh, my God.
And you can create more illness, which creates more billing codes. And those more billing codes, now I got a super mansion. Hey,
listen,
I might be able to put money down on a yacht now.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know how much money? Hundreds of pills a day. Okay. Yeah. How much money? How much do prescriptions cost these days if you don't have insurance? And then even scratch the insurance, because this is what people are getting paid. This is what Big Pharma is getting paid. These scripts, I mean, for one script can go all the way up to $2,000.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous the amount of money these prescriptions cost. And insurance companies, yes, they'll cover your script, but the insurance companies still got to pay.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, who's getting rich here? Who is getting rich and healthy here? It's not us.
Big Pharma's getting rich.
Yes, absolutely. So that's just one leg of why this has been a whole crap show for my family.
Yeah.
My dad, when I was 19 years old, went in for knee surgery. Okay.
Knee surgery. Knee. That's the knee. Like the
knee.
The knee that bends. Like, and
the one that bends that you stand on, right? The one like this one here.
Yeah.
Knee. Knee surgery. Okay. Went in for knee surgery and he dies a week later. Died a week later from complications from knee surgery. Really, what it was is they gave him the wrong type of prescription that caused him to internally bleed and die. Now, remember when I told you that my mom didn't want to go and fight the system again because it was horrible and it was the most horrible experience? Okay. I asked my mom, Mom, why are you not going after these people that killed him?
Yeah.
Like, why are you not going after these people?
Yeah.
She tells me, I can never do that again. I can't. I'm not strong enough to face this again.
Wow.
And she's already broken up. I mean,
that's
my dad
how hard it was the first time.
Yes. My dad was the love of her life. I mean, they still would have been married if he was alive today.
She talks about him every time I talk to her.
Yes.
Literally every time
I mean,
talk
to her. That was the love of her life.
Yeah.
She didn't want to be with nobody else. She has not been with anybody else since my dad. And that was 17 years ago. 17 years.
Yeah.
So this is what they've done to my family. Now me, right? I mean, me, okay, now I'm all jacked up, you know, all the trauma. This is my little family story. You guys got a little piece of it right now. This is just some crap that I had to deal with growing up.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I tried to self-soothe through any way possible. So I dove into weed and alcohol. When I got out of high school, I found harder drugs. So I got into all that, right? I end up going to the doctor. I get into a car accident. This is in my mid-20s. I get into a car accident and my back was hurting a little bit afterwards. I've always had back problems. I was in gymnastics for a really long time. So my back is always pretty sore. And so I went into the doctor. At that time, I had just had a new baby. I was working 3 jobs, not lying, and going to school at the same time. Okay. Too much psychotic. I didn't have any time for anything. I was just a hot mess. I go into the doctor. I'm like, my back hurts. I'm stressed out. I have 3 jobs. I have a new baby. I'm freaking out. I can't make it. I just need, help me. Like, help me. Do you know what he said to me? He was like, okay, I know it'll help you. Let's get you on some Adderall because then you'll be able to keep up with everything that you're doing. And you want to know what's really good about this med is that you're going to stay skinny on it.
Oh, man.
You'll stay skinny and you're so beautiful. So look at you. You know, don't you want to stay skinny?
Sounds like a salesman.
Oh, he was. Yeah. I was like, oh, this sounds great. At that time, I didn't know what Adderall was. I was like, right. Oh, that's great. And then he was like, but you're going to have trouble sleeping. Mm. So let me actually give you a script of Xanax because at night you're going to have trouble falling asleep.
Got to have the Xanax.
So you got to have it. Xanax. Exactly. Okay. It's the perfect pair. Just take the Adderall in the morning and in the afternoon and the Xanax at night. You're golden. But wait, your back. Oh, yeah. Your back hurts. Let me prescribe you some Norcos because that's going to help with your back pain.
Is that an opiate?
Yes. It's just like Vicodin.
There you go. Heroin.
Yes. Heroin. Just like Vicodin.
And where do we get the heroin? From Afghanistan. U.S. military goes over there and literally takes all the heroin directly out of Afghanistan. We have military soldiers guarding poppy fields and the government itself. And this is a public record. I think they made the most money on heroin opiates in the last 15 years during that whole situation.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah. I'm not surprised. But here's the crazy thing about it. Now, I'm not dumb, okay? I knew that all those drugs at once were not good for me. Mm-hmm. But guess who was not in the right mental state to be able to handle those drugs responsibly,
right?
Okay? I mean, I was not conscious. I was stressed out, new mm-hmm. baby, trying yeah. to make it by myself, you know? Mm-hmm. Baby daddy in prison. Like, mm-hmm. I was just out here trying yeah. to take care of a baby
rough.
On my own
rough.
While going to school and trying to get my life together at the same time. So I'm super stressed out, have mm-hmm. not done no shadow work, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, alone, yeah. feeling alone in the world and needing to get through the day. So mm-hmm. guess what I did? I took those drugs. Yeah. I took all those drugs and I took those drugs for a long time. And it mm-hmm. took me a lot of years to get off those drugs.
Yeah. You're one of the lucky ones.
Oh,
most
absolutely.
People never get off those drugs. Matter of fact, they take them until they die.
Well, do you know what's really crazy? They're only supposed to prescribe you Norco for 2 weeks.
Wow.
14 days.
There's people on those things for decades.
I mean, I was on it for, let me count, 18 to, I was on Norcos, I think, 6 years.
Mm.
All that, the whole mess of drugs, Adderall, Xanax, Norco, same time. About 6 years.
6 years.
And I mixed it with wine because it felt really good.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. I just chased it down with a bottle a night.
Yeah.
So you see what they I was a young woman at mm-hmm. the time. Okay. Yeah. This doctor manipulated me because I was not mentally stable. I was not okay. I mean, I should have got a mental health test to be able to take all these drugs, you know?
Facts.
They should test your mental health to make sure that you're in the right mind to take these drugs, but you don't even need these drugs. That's the thing. Yeah. The reason why these drugs work in our bodies is because we have receptors, mm-hmm. right? The receptors that create these feelings within us, right? We have opioid receptors. If you can learn how to access those, you don't need to take opioids to get that type of healing within your system, okay? I mean, we have these things in our bodies. We have the functions to do it all ourselves. That's what they need to be teaching people,
yep.
not being like, hey, here you go. Let me give you 5,000 scripts mm-hmm. so I can get a paycheck every month.
Yeah.
I mean, are you serious?
That's what it comes down to. All right. They don't even think anymore. As soon as they hear you speak the sentence, before the sentence is completed, they already know what script they're going to be giving you. In a lot of cases, a lot of these doctor's offices, not all of them, but a lot of them, they've got a pre-listed script that they're going to give out to as many patients as possible. So from the time you walk in the door, they already know they're going to hit a billing code on this, 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 and this, no matter what. Before you leave, they're going to hit those billing codes. They're going to hit those scripts. They have it all set up. They have a system in place so they have a chart based on how much money they're going to make per head that walks in the door every single day. And based on how many appointments they have, they can calculate and project what their weekly, monthly, annually, and even five-year income is going to be.
It's really horrible.
Without even seeing a patient and diagnosing anything yet.
No, here's the thing. The doctor that prescribed me all of those medications, he was known around Detroit to be able to get medication. So a lot of people that just wanted to go get a script would go to him. He had deals with Adderall and Xanax and Norco.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had this huge drug bust in Michigan. Yeah. They cracked down on opioids in Norco. And then he was like, I came into to get my script one day and he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, we can't give out Norcos anymore. Wow. You know, I'm really apologize about this, but we just can't do it right now. It's really hot out here. I'm like, this doctor just said it's really hot out here. What? He just said it's really hot out here.
Sound like a dope dealer to me.
Listen.
There's a shortage on the streets.
Yes.
We're dry out here.
Listen, he's like, but I can raise your Adderall, though. I'll raise your Adderall script. So he gave me, instead I was getting 30s, he gave me 50s.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He's like, I'll do that for you instead.
Wow.
My doctor was my drug dealer.
Real dope man type stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, worse than the dope man.
Wow. That's crazy.
Like, because you have a license that you're working under. Yeah. You took an oath. You took an oath to help people.
Mm-hmm.
You took it like drug dealers don't take no oath. They just want to sell some drugs. Yeah. They just want to make some money.
Mm-hmm.
These people take an oath.
It's a Hippocratic oath that you take as a doctor to make sure that what you're doing is in the best interest of your patient.
Listen, screwed up. And then I'm just one out of how many people in America? 300 million, 350 million people.
350 million people.
In America, I am one person with these stories that I'm talking about right now. I mean, everybody has to have a story like this.
There's a ton of them. Before you go over the stats, let me just tell one story.
Yes.
About a very, very close person, a friend of mine that passed away in his 30s, in his late 30s. His name was Tony. And he was very close with my son, Justin. He was actually Justin's uncle. And anyway, I played on men's basketball leagues with him. Him and his father were very, very good friends of mine. And unfortunately, his father passed away of some type of a liver failure unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And then not only just 3 months later, I hear that Tony's sick. And I'm like, he's sick from what? He goes in the hospital. He goes to the doctor, I'm sorry, and he gets a prescription medicine because he was having some insulin problems. Sound mm-hmm. like a diabetic issue, right? And he wasn't even that much overweight. He was not fit, but he wasn't obese either. Mm-hmm. He was one of the greatest girls basketball coaches down here in South Florida and at a high school. And he went in and they gave him a prescription for his insulin or something. Long story short, that night that he went home with that prescription that they gave him without giving him a blood test or any other test, it caused his lungs to fill up with fluid and he drowned in his own fluid that night, leaving behind his wife and his teenage daughter. And a house and bills and cars and everything else. And all the people that loved him because the doctor decided to randomly off the top of his dome, write some prescription that literally caused this man to drown in his own fluids in it while he was sleeping in bed.
Sounds like what they did to my dad.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. This happens all
that was just a few
the
years
time.
Ago. Yeah.
All the time. It's nonstop.
Listen, I went to that wake. I thought Justin couldn't go. So I said, I have to at least show up because Justin couldn't handle it. So I said, I got to show up. Now I know why I don't go to funerals and wakes. That tore me up so bad.
Mm-hmm.
It tore me up so bad. Oh, my God. I'll never go back again to another one. I'll never do it again.
No,
I can't do it.
It's hard. Yeah. It's hard. And it's so frustrating. It's like. They sun you, you know, it's like you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
You can't, you know, like I can't bring my dad back. I can't be like, Dad, don't get that knee surgery. It's going to kill you. What? Yeah. You know, I mean, it's like one false decision by these people causes people to die.
Right.
Causes people's lives to completely change forever. Now, I got off these drugs. I have been clean for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
But what if I didn't?
Mm.
I have a whole kid. I have a whole kid. Like this stuff happens all the time and ruins lives and then continues to ruin lives because it becomes a generational problem. Mm-hmm. Now, if I would have still been drinking wine and taking all these pills all the time, do you think I would be in the same position I'm in? Do you think that my kid, that Gabe, would be in the same position that he's in? Probably not. He would probably be off trying drugs by now himself because he's at the age when I tried my first drugs.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I mean, we gotta
find a way to tighten this system up. There's two jobs on this planet that you can't have a bad day. There's two jobs where there's no excuse to have a bad day. One job is being a cop. you can't like make mistakes being a cop because people die unexpectedly when you shoot them in the head or beat them to death, which happened to my father. Or the next thing is you can't have a bad day being a doctor. Like, you have to do your job at the highest level every single time, which is why we have so much respect for Dr. Daniel Amen, who's a psychiatrist. And psychiatrists are known for just randomly giving out prescriptions because you're talking about the brain. It's like, hey, let me give you this dope. But Dr. Daniel Amen doesn't do that. He actually gives you a spec scan, analyzes the brain, looks at the brain itself to figure out what could be going wrong, and then tries to find alternatives to what needs to be done to help fix your brain besides just automatically prescribing drugs.
Yeah.
And so, but he's one of the very few doctors that operates like that. The majority don't do that.
Well,
so you can't have a bad day as a doctor.
Yeah. Well, he was getting death threats for trying to do what he does today when he first started
from his own peers.
From his own peers. Why would you look at the brain? You're crazy.
Yeah.
Getting death threats. They got so angry. Whenever you try to change the system, oh my God, the people come after you.
Yeah.
The agents come after
you. They coming.
Yes.
And they come out of the woodwork.
It's too crazy. And what's really, really even more crazy is the fact that 80% of the time, depression medication does not work. That is a stat. So why would you go to the doctor and know that only 2 out of 10 times it's going to work? Only 2 people out of 10 people it's going to work for.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, it usually works because of placebo. And they've done multiple studies over this. You guys can look it up. Look it up. Look at the effectiveness of depression meds. Okay.
Yeah.
And you can't see depression in a brain.
Right.
You can see anxiety because you can see different parts of the brain light up and you can see a lot of the brain shut down, which can be a sign of depression, but they have not like stamped that. You can't be like, boom, oh, that's depression.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know, because that is just for the moment in time, right? What about the next day when you feel a little better? Do you still have depression? Do you still need to take your depression medicine?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, these are moods. These are emotions. Another thing that they're trying to shut down within us.
Mm-hmm.
We're taught to not feel.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing that we are gifted with in this third dimensional world, is how to feel. That's what we came here for. And they try to shut it all off with all these different drugs.
Well, they want to turn us into robots.
Exactly.
Yeah. Robots don't feel.
No, they don't. And you know, the minute you take a benzo, you take one benzo in your entire life, just one. You take a little 2.5 milligram of Xanax. Your brain will never be the same.
Mm.
It changes your brain forever.
Wow.
They've done studies about this too.
Mm.
It changes your brain forever. It's like, This stuff is really wild to me, that they just are so easy to.
Yeah, because when they do like this, the money comes back in. They give it out, the money comes back in.
Mm.
So it's like, hey, they go to sleep and say, hey, you know, I made good money for my family today. And the hell with everybody else out there. That's why you can't have capitalism in this medical industry, because people are just being stepped on and the boots on everyone's neck, and they're being taken advantage of. And people at the very, very top, at the top of the pyramid, you know, the people that run big pharma and mostly control the planet, they're just, you'll never see their faces. You'll never know their names. You'll never know exactly who they are. They just sit back and rake in trillions of dollars.
Mm.
And we're just collateral damage.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And yes, the brain, Shawnee, the brain can heal. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Neuroplasticity is a thing, but it does change the wiring within your brain. Do some studies about it. I will, next time we jump on, I didn't prepare, like I didn't link to, but I will find the study that I read about this, the multiple studies I actually read about this, and I will put them in the description of this video, because yes, you guys should definitely read about it. So here's the thing. Here's the reason why people get addicted to drugs, is because your dopamine receptors get flooded with this hit of dopamine. So you feel this lovely, euphoric, wonderful feeling when you take these certain drugs. Now, when you continue to take the drug and continue to take the drug, now you're wearing down your dopamine receptors, right? So now you need more of the drug and more of the drug to feel that way. Now, when you don't have the drug and the drug is taken away, now your dopamine receptors are requiring all of this dopamine, all of this, these hormones and chemicals to keep you feeling good. So that's why it's so difficult to get off of drugs that you're addicted to. You know, that's why it's so difficult to get off of all these things, because you're trying to reach that feeling of happiness again, and nothing seems to do it.
Right. Chasing the high.
You always chase the high. Yeah. You're always chasing the high. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, good things like that help with addictions. There is a lot of stuff out there that does help with addiction. One specific thing is called Iboga. It's Ibogaine, I think is the full name of it, but it is a psychedelic. I do believe it's illegal in America. I don't know. I think a lot of people go to Mexico or something and do this. But what that psychedelic drug does is it completely resets your brain and your dopamine receptors and everything within your system. And so you're clear, right? Your dopamine receptors aren't requiring all this, these chemicals, mm-hmm. all this dopamine to be able to have you feel good, because now, boom, you're like a virgin brain. Okay. Right. So that's one of the things that I do know completely erases addiction.
Yeah. We personally met a few people that did that.
Yes.
And this one person had just openly told us that, hey, I was addicted to this thing. I'm not going to say what it was. And they did that and it's gone. It's like magic. Like the need to do that again doesn't exist. And they only did it one time, which is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to get the healing out of something and leave it alone. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to do it like it's another new addiction, right?
Exactly. But here's the thing. Why are they not giving these treatments to people, right? These one and dones. Yeah. These one and dones that you can grow from the earth. You don't need a big, huge lab to put in this chemical, and mix it all together. You don't need to do all that.
Right.
You can just grow it out the ground. Here goes this plant. Take this. You're good for life.
Yeah, because then people will stop buying cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs, and they don't want that to happen. They need you hooked on cigarettes, alcohol, and drugs. And if you take that thing, that one plant will stop you from taking all those things.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's trillions of dollars out of their pocket.
Listen. Listen. My one mushroom journey that I had changed my whole life. Mm. My whole life. I'll never need to do that again, or I'll never touch a narcotic ever again. I don't need to do that ever again, because guess what? I became aware of a bigger purpose, a bigger vision, what's behind all of this stuff in this three-dimensional world. Mm-hmm. You become aware of these things and realize your true full purpose, right? Yeah. But they don't want to give this stuff. They make it illegal because we got a war on drugs, right, guys? A war on drugs.
A war on drugs. That didn't work out too well.
Listen, you know that prescriptions, they're the third leading cause of death.
Yeah.
They're handing out hundreds of millions. Didn't he say, Ahmed said 5 billion.
Billion.
5 billion prescriptions were handed out.
Billion prescriptions.
That's crazy.
Now, the war on drugs was to capitalize for letting them actually make money off what they wanted to earn off the streets, but also restrict all the other people with dope on the streets and make everyone focus on getting scripts. Mm. And so you saw everything shift from crack cocaine to prescription medicine.
Mm-hmm. The war on drugs. Yeah. We got a war on drugs, but here, take these drugs and keep taking them. Take them some more.
Yeah.
And then here goes some more drugs. Mix that together. Mm-hmm. Like what? Yeah. I can't, man.
Wild.
Let me read this stat. The latest increase means that the number of antidepressant items prescribed over the past 6 years has increased by 34.8% from 61.9 million items in 2015-2016 to 83.4 million items in 21-22.
And items are scripts.
Yes.
So, geez, that's a heck of an increase. They went from 61 million to 83 million scripts.
Mm-hmm. And that's just antidepressants.
That's just one.
That's just
one medicine. I don't even want to call it medicine.
Yeah. No,
that's just one script.
Yeah. One type. That's just one, guys. One. Okay. That's a lot.
Antidepressants. Another story, quick story while you're looking for the next stat. A guy who used to work for me, kid, 22 years old, got on antidepressants. Because he was taking sleeping medication that the doctor prescribed because he had to study for his exams and he had stayed up so long and that he needed to get some sleep.
Mm.
So the doctor gave him sleeping medicine. He forgot something Ambien. He needed for college, Ambien. That's what he had.
Yeah.
He forgot something he needed for school the next day. He was at UCF. So he got in his car and he took the medicine. Then he drove the car to Walgreens to pick something up for school. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He was driving erratically because he had the Ambien kicking.
Oh, yeah. It makes you really woozy. They gave me that too. Yeah.
So then the cops stopped him, thought he was DUI, arrested him for DUI, put him in jail. He almost lost his scholarship. He had to go back, get all the evidence to say that he wasn't DUI. He was just taking sleeping medicine, but he went to the store. That got him sick and depressed. So the doctor then, the same doctor, gives him depression medicine. Mm. That depression medicine gave him suicidal thoughts, and he ended up hanging himself right around the corner from my house in his dad's garage on Christmas. Now, that's bad.
Let's just look at the side effects of depression medicine, okay? Hold on. Let's see if I can get a quick little list here. Because this is so common, guys. This is extremely common that you get prescribed depression medicine, and then you go kill yourself. Yeah. So let's see here.
Do not take that. Listen, don't take that stuff. I mean, look. Consult with your physician. I'm not a doctor, but listen, what happened with that situation was like
hypomania or mania. These are side effects of depression medicine, guys. Suicidal feelings, a side effect of depression medicine. That's supposed to help that, I thought. No, it might actually give you suicidal feelings.
Give you the suicidal feelings.
Yeah. Serotonin syndrome. That's not good. Gastrointestinal bleeding. So leaky gut. Now you got leaky gut and you want to kill yourself even more so because you're taking these depression medicine now. Oh, my goodness. All of them. They're all bad.
Diabetes.
Neuroleptic malignant syndrome. That sounds bad. I don't even know what that is, but that sounds horrible. Yeah. Diabetes.
Goodness. You can get diabetes from taking depression meds.
Come on, man. These people are absolutely ridiculous.
That kid killed himself over... Nothing.
No, he killed himself because he took the depression medication. Yeah. Do you want to, what's the lady name? She was a big model. She was strung out on pills. She reminded me a lot. Like, her life was a lot like mine. She was way bigger though. Anna Nicole Smith.
Anna Nicole Smith, I remember.
Yes, that. Strung out, okay? Strung out on pills. This makes sense. I've been strung out on pills, so I totally can understand that. Her son found her pills, took some of her pills, and drank a little bit, but was on depression medicine. Mm. You cannot drink on depression medicine, and you cannot mix other pills with depression medicine because it causes these symptoms, right? It raises the likelihood that you will get these side effects. Mm. Guess what he does? Boom, dies. Mm. I mean, that's what killed her. I mean, these stories are not, this is not just Hollywood. This is everyday life. Everyday life. In 2020, the number of U.S. children aged 12 or younger receiving anti-anxiety prescriptions, including but not limited to benzos,
yeah.
Was nearly 600,000. This is children younger. 12 and younger.
You're giving them benzos.
Their brains are not even fully developed.
Yeah.
You
can't give kids benzos. You're talking about grade school children.
Side effects of benzos. Let's look at the side effects of benzos. Here's another thing. I could have died so many times because my doctor. So first of all, a benzo is going to completely lower your heart rate. Now, what does alcohol do? Completely lowers your heart rate.
Yeah. Two downers.
Okay. Then I'm popping Norks on top of that. My heart should have stopped in sleep so many times. I mean, 2 years nonstop. This was my life. Respiratory depression, respiratory arrest, drowsiness, confusion, headache, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, benzos. These are side effects of benzos, guys. Yeah.
So people get, you know, doctors give this to your kids, and then you think your kid's having some other kind of problem, not knowing it's a direct side effect of the benzos. So you keep giving them the benzos, and then you go back to the doctor. Then they give you something for the other side effect symptoms, and now you got your kid on 3 and 4 pills. Before you know it, the kid's on 5, 6, 7 pills, and their whole life is ruined.
Exactly. Entire life ruined. Yeah. Ruined.
They got a customer for life, however long that life can possibly even last.
Yeah. It was crazy. After my dad died, I was so broken up after my dad, I couldn't sleep. Guess what they gave me? Ambien. Mm. Here, this will put you to sleep. You'll be okay. I'm 19 years old. Your brain does not finish fully developing until age 25. Mm. You should not take any type of narcotic unless it's absolutely 1,000,000% necessary, which I don't even see the purpose or why it could be that. But they should not give these things to kids or people under 25 or under. Mm-hmm. Their brains are still developing. How is this affecting the growth and trajectory of these people's lives when you're wiring in with these narcotics? You're wiring different receptors inside of your brain to love these specific drugs or need them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any type of sense whatsoever. You're not giving people a chance.
Yeah,
that's what's happening. Over 130,000 U.S. toddlers and children aged 0 to 5, okay, 0 to 5, are prescribed addictive anti-anxiety drugs.
Mm. Now, 0, that means fresh newborns.
How?
Why are newborns getting anxiety drugs?
How does a newborn have anxiety, though? They're crying too much. Give them a benzo. What?
You know what it is? It's called billing codes.
Listen.
Hey, we can give them a tenth of a gram of this dope, and we can get paid $2,000.
Yo.
So every time, every other kid that comes in, write them a script for this dope, because guess what? We're going to get paid. And so they have a little system, a little chart in their offices that say every other one, I don't care what the problem is, they're going to get this dope. They're going to get this dope. There's nothing you can do to stop us. We're going to give them this dope. And the next thing you know, at the end of the month, they get that big fat paycheck when all those codes and all those scripts pay off.
Oh, God.
130,000 toddlers.
No,
given anti-
39,000 infants 39,000 are being prescribed anti-anxiety drugs that are so addictive. Oof. The FDA warns they should not be taken for longer than a few weeks. Mm. 39,000.
And the top is 130,000 toddlers.
Toddlers 0 to 5, but 39,000 out of those 130,000 are infants.
Wow.
Infants. For anti-anxiety, how are they going to tell an infant that an infant has anxiety? The only method of communication from an infant is crying.
That's it. Pick the baby up and coddle it. Give it some milk.
Listen, these people
put it on
the
teat, whatever.
Freaking psychotic, man.
You're going to give it some dope. No. We got to get the customers while they're young.
There has been nearly a 300% increase in the drugs prescribed to babies and toddlers under the age of 2 since 2003.
Mm.
300% increase.
300% increase. That's what I'm talking about. You can't have capitalism in healthcare and Medicare, because what's happening is, you see what they're doing? The doctors figured out the matrix, the money matrix in the medical industry. And they say, you know what? All we got to do is each person is worth this much money to our office if we do this, 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 and this every time they walk through the door, no matter what their problem is.
Well, get them young. So then they pay for the rest of their life.
The rest of their life.
They're a lifer. They're a lifer.
Freaking A. Steal their future before they even have one.
Mm. Ooh. The prescribing rate among primary care physicians more than doubled from 3.6 to 7.5% probably in the past year. Benzo prescriptions obtained through a doctor's visit or an emergency room more than doubled between 2003 and 2015 from 27.6 million to 62.6 million.
Mm.
Why? Why? Why does it have to double? Are people getting that much crazier?
No, doctors are getting that much smarter on how to play the financial matrix.
Word, for real.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
They said, you know what? Man, we can make some money. Mm-hmm. All we got to do now. And plus, you know, they're getting the phone call. Hey, we need you to push this. We need you to push it. We need you to push this.
Mm.
And it's a shame what's going on.
It's really, 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 really.
Then these kids get into school. And we think these are bad kids, mm-hmm. or they're not paying attention, or they got ADHD. No, they've been getting dope since birth.
Well, hey, that's right. I literally put this on Twitter a while ago. That's what they do, right? They get mad at kids for not sitting still for 8 hours straight. So they prescribe them Adderall, but then teach them that drugs are bad.
Yeah.
Drugs are bad, but here, sit your ass down and stay down. So here's some Adderall. Take mm-hmm. that so you can sit down and shut up.
Right.
But drugs are bad, kids. Drugs are bad.
Yeah.
Like, what?
It's backwards thinking.
Listen, they make the plants the enemy. Yeah. They make the plant the enemy. Alcohol kills, I don't know. I don't even know the stat, but I know it kills it's so crazy. Many more people. I don't think anyone really dies from weed mm-hmm. every year, but I know a whole bunch of mofos that die from alcohol
yeah.
every single year. But alcohol is legal. Finally, they're legalizing marijuana. But now, okay, marijuana smokers, be careful, because they're finding high amounts of lead in marijuana these days.
Yeah.
Careful.
Toxic. Super toxic.
Careful.
That lead will destroy your brain and give you lead poisoning.
Listen.
And lead poisoning almost killed me. Now, let me tell you about lead poisoning. I was working with a company in one of my back in my marketing days who used to burn lead wick candles. Lead wick candles are illegal now. You can't have sell a candle in America that has a lead wick. They used to use lead because it would make the candle burn slower and the candle would last longer. But this office, they would burn these lead candles all throughout the office. And I was there working with them for only 2 weeks, and I was inhaling this lead in the atmosphere. And it gave me lead poisoning in my blood and it made my hair fall out in giant patches all over my head. I had to go to Dr. Thrower in Miami, who's a phenomenal a doctor. And he was able to give me his homemade remedy that he gave me, this salve that would put on these spots that allowed my hair to grow back. But I went to the doctor. They told me just another week or two, I might be dead. That's how bad lead poisoning can be. So if you're smoking that, I don't even want to tell you. You got to be real careful. There's no home test kits for what you buy somewhere to test this stuff before you inhale it into your body. They need to have some type of testing kit where you can test.
This is terrifying. This is terrifying. Researchers found marijuana users have the significantly higher levels of metals like lead and cadmium in their blood and urine.
Facts.
This study is one of the largest of its kind, which analyzed over 7,000 participants. 7,000. This is scary. I love marijuana. I do. I'm not, I don't smoke all the time, but I do like to indulge sometimes. And this scares me. Okay. Because heavy metals will literally, your brain, you will not be yourself.
Dementia, Parkinson's,
brain
Alzheimer's.
Fog. I'm talking about brain massive fog. Amounts of brain fog. You won't be able to act how you act.
You'll be off. And you won't even realize that you're off because it's you, but other people will be able to realize that something's wrong.
Oh, this is bad. Yeah, this is.
They need
this,
to make a home testing kit for this stuff, where somebody can. Whoever invents that's going to become a trillionaire.
Oh yeah, I know.
Home testing kit where you buy your stuff and you put it into this little test kit and you shake it up, right? Mm-hmm. And you can look at it and say, okay, wow, this is clean. Or you can shake it up and say, oh, this contains lead and this contains cadmium or whatever.
Yeah.
You know not to use it. Never go back to that person again.
Well, here we go. Output. Yes. Grow your own. If you like it, grow your own, because you don't even know now that it's being monetized by the government. Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's, you know, the natural stuff. I mean, was there ever heavy metals in back in the day when there was weed growing? I mean, it was called kind bud and regos or something like back in the day. I don't think that they were finding all this lead and cadmium in marijuana, well, but all of a sudden,
like anything they monetize is poison.
Thank you.
They monetize is poison.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Obama campaigned on getting into office, he campaigned on having labeled GMOs in America. Mm-hmm. And as soon as he got in office, he hired Monsanto to be the head of the FDA.
That's crazy, man. Like, what?
He took the money.
Oh,
he put the guy in charge
gosh.
Of all the poison in charge of the FDA.
Yeah.
And of course, GMOs never got labeled.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just look at the lack of progress in mental health. $3.9 billion is spent on depression. And only 24% of the patients responds to the treatments. Mm. But yet they spend $3.9 billion on it, though.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. $1.4 billion spent on anxiety disorders. But yet they've more than doubled in the past 10 years, right? I mean, at least the scripts have more than doubled in the past couple years. So is this really doing anything? I don't know.
No.
Where's the money going? I mean, I'm just confused. $452 million spent on ADHD. $889 million spent on PTSD, which bothers the crap out of me because I've literally worked with multiple veterans. I've worked with multiple people that have had PTSD. Shit, I've had PTSD. And guess who's all the way better? Did I have to take any drugs for that? I don't think so.
Nope.
Mm-mm. I just use my tools that I talk about all the time. And yet I get shadow banned. You know, I'm shadow banned because I like to talk about my tools that'll actually heal you. So you don't ever have to go take a pill for it.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to shadow ban me, though.
Right.
$1 billion spent on traumatic brain injury. Mm. I mean, where is all this money going? Because all of these issues that they're talking about, right, I have had. And I have healed myself from without using narcotics or pills or any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've healed myself from all of it.
You had the traumatic brain injury.
Yes, I have.
Which you had a spec scan for from Dr. Daniel Amen.
Yes, I have. I'm impulsive because of a traumatic brain injury. I got hit on the top of my head here and it showed up in my brain scan.
Yeah.
And guess what, guys? Awareness, you know, focus, concentration, meditation.
Supplements.
Right. Supplements. Yeah. I mean, testing.
And exercise.
I mean, modalities. Okay. Grounding. Red light therapy. Brain training. I mean, there's just so many things that you can do that are free that will heal yourself so you don't feel this ever again.
Yeah.
Ever again. But then you realize how to move yourself out of it, right? Mm-hmm. You may have anxiety. Like, I'm not freaking happy, Miss Happy-Go-Lucky. Like, I get anxious. I get depressed. I get angry. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about these three things. I love that I feel my emotions. And I love that I'm able to stay aware when I have these emotions and then move through them. Not stuff them, not ignore them, but move through them, right? Now, back in the day when I was taking all these drugs, I would feel these emotions and I would get stuck there for days and then feel hopeless. Okay. Yeah. Hopeless. And then just take a whole bunch more drugs.
Yeah.
That's going to make me feel better. Mm. Really, it makes you feel worse in the long run.
Make you feel worse.
It's a quick fix. Yes.
Yeah.
Awful.
Absolutely.
It's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's we have to do better as a society. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have to become more educated on all of these different things, okay? So we can stop participating in these systems that are ruining our lives, ruining our families' lives, ruining our kids' lives, like literally.
And we have to be strong enough to know that these doctors, they work for us. So when you go to a doctor and they tell you, do this, 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 and this.
Tell him what happened.
You're going to have the power to say, hell no.
Yes. Tell him what happened when he went to the doctor last time. I made him go to the doctor because I am not opposed to going to the doctor and getting some tests done to see what's going on. I'm not opposed. Okay.
We're not afraid of doctors.
No.
Don't mistake what we're taught. We don't have doctor phobia.
No. I'll go to the doctor. If I have an issue and I don't know what it is, I'm going to go to the doctor.
Right. So she convinces me finally to go to the doctor, and that's hard to do. So she finally convinces me. I go to the doctor. I've got a problem swallowing. It just kept getting worse. I was choking on water a lot. And I think the flap was acting up that separates, it closes to allow water to go down your esophagus and not go down your windpipe. Mm-hmm. I was getting a little concerned because it was happening more and more frequently. And I didn't want water to go down my windpipe and give me pneumonia because you can die from pneumonia. Mm-hmm. We go to the doctor, right? We go to this ear, nose, throat specialist. Now, the title of this doctor is ear, nose, and throat. That's all up in here, right?
Yeah.
The doctor never once says, ah. Say, ah. You know, they say, ah, put that stick in your mouth and pull your tongue down and look in the back of your throat. Or I'm thinking I'm going to get maybe she's got a flashlight or something that's going to go down in my throat and look around. Or maybe some type of scan on my neck or look in my ears or something.
Yeah.
No. She just wanted me to get a colonoscopy, or not a colonoscopy, get me a prostate exam.
She wanted to stick her fingers in
She wanted to stick my finger in my butt, and she wanted to get me to go get a prostate checked. I'm like, prostate? So what are you talking about?
You want to look at my throat.
I'm like, this is the problem right here. No, we're going to go get you a gown. We need you to bend over. It's going to be quick and easy and painless. I promise you, we're going to. I'm like, and she's putting the glove on. I said, stop right there. I don't need a prostate check right now. I came in because I can't swallow.
His throat.
And I'm getting water in my windpipe. There's nothing going on down here. It's here. It's in here. She leaves out of the room. She sends somebody else in.
That also tried to stick their fingers in his butt.
Asking me a million questions and want to stick a finger in my butt.
Like,
I said, what the hell's going on? I'm confused. Listen, right. I said, I'm done. I'm leaving. I'm leaving.
I was there. Yes, I was there. I was there.
I'm coming out. They send me to another room. They want to schedule my prostate exam.
They didn't even look in his throat.
I'm like, but it's in here. This is the problem. It's in my throat.
It's so crazy.
No. We want to go in the ass. That's what we want. We want to dig up in the ass. We don't care about the throat. And guess what they've been doing? We left out of there. I paid whatever bill they charged me that day.
Oh, my God. They charged us so much money.
They keep charging money.
Every freaking month.
People are like, what is this charge coming from?
Listen.
They're earning residual income. We're popping up in the office unannounced.
Yes, we are.
And they need to put all that money back on the card because ain't nobody authorized none of this.
Well, it's so crazy that I even caught that they were charging us because otherwise we would just look at our credit one day and been like, what is this from?
Yeah.
We didn't even know they were still charging us.
We had no idea.
Like, these people are shady.
And they just wanted to dig up in the butt.
They wanted to put the fingers in the butt. That's all they cared about.
They didn't care. The lady never said, open your mouth. Let me look in your throat. Or, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to get the check. Something. Yeah, we just bend over. Get the gown.
Lay on your side.
I said to myself, did Elizabeth know is this an ear, nose, and throat doctor? Or is this some anal exam?
That's literally where I looked up. Oh my God.
That was so crazy. Like, I don't understand what the hell's going on. You know how my throat got healed? Elizabeth found a specific peptide supplement that she started to give me. Mm-hmm. And it healed the flap. It must have got torn or something. And it's perfectly healed. I don't even choke anymore.
Yes. Exactly.
All I took was a natural supplement and I'm good to go.
A little peptide. Here you go. A little VP157. There you go. Boop. Yeah. Now you're better.
I'm better. Okay. And only a couple of weeks, probably 2-3 weeks.
I know.
I have no problem. The problem is gone.
Crazy.
And they wanted to dig up in my... They would have made up some false thing and said, we want to take out your intestines and all kind of... Listen, who knows what they would have said.
Listen, trying to get all the money, right? Yeah. Remember, I was having stomach issues and I was scared, right? I wanted to go figure out what was going on with my stomach. I'm terrified. Now, when I tell you, I avoid the hospital at all costs. Like, I literally was almost bleeding to death this one time. And my kid walked up to me with tears, bawling his eyes out like, Mom, you really should go to the hospital. There's blood everywhere. And I'm like, fine. Okay, fine. But you cannot make me go to the hospital. Yeah. I wanted to go to the hospital because that's how bad my stomach was hurting. Mm-hmm. Right. And we were looking up, how much is a CAT scan? $22,000 for a CAT scan. I'm like, look, I'm not going to no doctor.
We got to max out a car to do this one.
$22,000. No, absolutely not. But guess what? I healed myself.
Yeah, you did.
I healed myself. Yeah. My gut is fine. Yeah. I feel good.
You're good.
It took me a couple months, but guess what, guys? Healed myself.
Research and determination and the right supplements.
Yes.
That's all it takes.
Exactly.
I'll tell you one last one before I get off, because I got to get on with Richard Merritt on Black Magic 363 in a few minutes. But remember what Justin told you? I took my son, Justin, when he was in high school. I had to take him to get his physical for the basketball team. Well, I take him to the doctor to get his physical. And the nurse in there is going crazy. You don't have all your shots. You didn't get one. My kids don't have the shots. Right. And so I said, don't worry about that. He don't need that. We're here for a physical. You got to get him. I said, look, we ain't got to get nothing. You work for me. Now, do the physical so you can get paid, because that's what you're here to do. Right. Get paid. Like I tell you, you got to tell these doctors what you want them to do. Attorneys, doctors, all these people, service-based people, you tell them what you want them to do. Don't let them tell you what you have to do. You got to flip the role the way it's supposed to be, not the way they want it to be. And so she starts the physical. And the next thing you know, she puts the stethoscope on his heart. And she's going, oh, there's a problem. Remember that Justin told you? Mm-hmm. There's a problem with his heart. Yeah. I'm like, there's a problem with his heart. Mm-hmm. There's a problem with his heart. You got to go see a cardiac specialist right away. You got to see him right away. And I'm like, what are you talking about? There's a problem with his heart. And so she starts writing up this referral form. Mm-hmm. I said, look, ma'am, no offense against you, but please check this again. Mm-hmm. So she goes back and checks his heart again. Guess what it was? The clock on the wall.
The freaking clock on the wall.
It was a clock on the wall. Tick, tick, tick. Can you believe this? Now, what if I didn't say no?
Oh, my God. No. Here's the thing. No SIBO. No freaking SIBO. That could have caused him to have issues with his heart forever.
From his own brain believing it.
From his own mind believing. No SIBO is a thing. It is a thing.
A parent would have panicked and took him straight to the cardiac doctor.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's too crazy.
Mm-hmm. Too crazy. Can you imagine?
I mean,
her mother would have raced him to a cardiac specialist that same day.
Hurry.
And the cardiac specialist would have ran him up and told him, oh, yeah, you got some distant depth about.
Put him on some medicine.
And put him on pharmaceuticals and ruined his whole basketball career.
Yeah, absolutely. Would have completely screwed it all up over a clock ticking. Are you serious?
A clock. I'm telling you, you better flip the script and tell these people what you want. The hell with what they want. It's what you want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Period, point blank.
And do your research. Do your research, yeah. please, about these drugs, okay? Every single prescription drug that you are taking, if you're taking any, do your research, heavy research. There is something natural that can replace it. I promise.
Yeah.
I promise. That's right.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, I got to get ready for Black Magic 363. I'll be on his YouTube account shortly.
Yes.
So we're going to sign off for the night. Thanks for spending some time with us. Please share this video. There's a lot of people out here that need to hear what we're talking about tonight. They can't figure out what's going on, why they feel so sick, why they're feeling ill, why their kids are acting, why their kids are so sick all the time and tired, no energy, or either acting up in school or seem like they can't learn. It's probably the dope that they've been given.
Yeah. Yep. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out. Don't forget to click the like button. And yep. See you guys next.
This is Billy Carson with ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. Forbidden Knowledge TV has just reached its 1-year anniversary. That's right. 1 year. And as a show of appreciation, we are giving all new subscribers a free 30-day trial of ForbiddenKnowledge.tv. That's 30 days to binge watch thousands of movies, documentaries, conferences, workshops, lectures, yoga classes, meditation courses, and so much more. So log on to ForbiddenKnowledge.tv from your computer or mobile device, or get the Forbidden Knowledge TV app on Apple TV, Roku, Amazon, iTunes, or Google Play today, and use coupon code 30DAYSFREE. That's coupon code 30 days free on ForbiddenKnowledge.tv today.